In Paris in 1889, even murder was a form of theatre, and what Michel Hérode had in mind was a brilliant bit of staging, a sexual farce, full of suspense and melodrama, and then a tragic denouement. Hérode had a cockeyed sense of himself. In his invented world, he fancied himself a romantic, a flâneur at his ease strolling along the boulevards, a raconteur idling at Maxim's, a ladies' man, a conjurer who glided like the devil between the light and the dark, and pushed to the edge, he could kill with style. He and his mistress had acquired all the props they needed for the evening's performance. They'd been to London and bought some rope, a pulley, a silk cordelière for use as a noose, and a trunk so big it could hold a human. They'd rented an apartment under an alias on a quiet side street near the Grand Boulevard, taking rooms on the ground floor, so no one below could hear the thud of a body hitting the floor. Gabrielle was a skilled seamstress, a craft she learned during her years in the convents, and for two nights she had sat by the window stitching two pieces of burlap together to form a human-size bag. He was the show's director and set designer. On this Friday evening, July 26th, he climbed onto a chair in the sitting room alcove, with his mistress spotting him, and hammered the pulley into a crossbeam. He ran the rope up through the pulley and down again to the floor. He installed a curtain across the alcove and placed a wood chair next to the dangling rope. Here was his hiding spot, where he was to lie in wait. He pushed a chaise long next to the alcove, then scurried about, creating a romantic atmosphere for the killing. He lowered the gas jets, lit candles, and arranged cognac and biscuits on a silver tray. And again he instructed his actress in her scene how to speak her lines, how to slide the red silk cordelière off her dressing gown and secretly turn it into a noose. Gabrielle was the star of this show, a petite 21-year-old, the sexual bait tossed before a genial man of wealth. She had been on her own in Paris for a year, about 140 miles from her home in Lille, and now she was desperate and broken, a near-hysterical runaway, a femme fatale, lethal to her lovers. A short distance away, on Boulevard Montmartre, Toussaint-Augustin Gouffet sat with three friends on the terrace of Café Veron, sipping absinthe. His silk hat was impeccably shined, his beard was well-groomed, and his shirt bore his monogram. Gouffet was a bailiff, who, in France, was not the stolid uniformed officer known to sit in American courtrooms, but a professional of a higher order, a business figure who handled legal matters and was somewhat comparable to an attorney. The man looked rich, satisfied, and untouchable. But he had his vulnerabilities. A careful eye watching him on the street might detect his slight limp, and a casual ear did not miss his high-pitched voice and minor lisp. Lifting his glass to his lips, he revealed manicured fingernails, and on his pinky was a treasure that marked him as a target for murder. A gold ring with a sapphire mounted in a halo of diamonds. Outside on the boulevard, the world of Paris circulated. Dandies and wits, mesdames in plumed hats, messieurs in white gloves, demi-mondaine in heavy face paint and feather boas. Across from Café Veron was the stone arch entrance to the Musée Grévin, the famed wax museum. Inside stood moulded kings and queens in breathtaking three-dimensional realism. Down the block, at the Théâtre des Variétés, the comic opera La Fille à Cacoler was on the boards. Earlier in the year, high society had flocked to the premiere of L'Affaire Édouard, the latest work by the playwright Georges Feydeau, who was establishing himself as the master of stage farce. On this Friday, the rain had pelted off and on, muddying the thoroughfare, but not intimidating the giant Percherons, thundering along, drawing the double-decker Imperial omnibuses. On the boulevard, as one historian fondly recalled, there was a bedlam of noise, a cacophony of hoofbeats, whirling wheels, rattling pushcarts, cries of hawkers, and the occasional neigh of an impatient horse.